I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is One Heat Minute Productions new release show, and there are so many amazing releases in 2025 that we're just sort of frantically getting to the big ones before we ride off into the sunset of the summer break here in Australia. Today, I'm talking to a friend and founder of The Film Stage. I usually speak to one of his other main co-founders, the great Dan Mecca. But today I'm talking to Jordan Raup. Hello, Jordan. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
I think the only time we've ever spoken is in a combative trivia setting, which is so fun to not be fighting.
Yeah, the knives are not out this time. We can just relax, just enjoy. Good.
Yeah, Dan Mecca can't mention a Bruce Willis movie that, like, I think what was so pleasing the last time that I think we spoke on a trivia night is, like, you were challenging Dan to mention other actors in these movies.
Yes.
Just to, like, for fairness, you're like, Dan, you don't know any of the other actors in that movie. You have to name it to help level the playing field, which is appreciative. But today we're talking about, speaking of like masters, great filmmakers that are working, a couple of days ago now on our feed, or maybe even a week ago, you would have heard Brandon Streisig and I talk about Kelly Reichardt and a lot of mentions of this movie, but it is now out on Mubi around the world. It is The Mastermind. Take a listen to the trailer, starring Josh O'Connor, Alana Haim, and Jordan and I are going to come back and talk all about The Mastermind.
Saw Kip's father today. He said Kip has projects all over town.
He spends all his time balancing books, scheduling, on the phone.
It's an idiotic way to spend your time.
Well, you seem to have a good amount of time on your hands.
Did he know the kids don't have school today?
I meant work. Why can't they be with you?
I've got things to do.
What things? Like what? That's a lot of money.
Just hear me out. It's a big, life-changing opportunity for me. But I'd have to rent a workspace and purchase tools which I don't have. That sort of thing.
And this is real?
Mom, it's real. Don't look like cops.
Say, James, we've been told that you're mixed up in this robbery.
I sure don't know how you got down this road. You got the wrong idea. I'm afraid you got some bad information.
I sure do appreciate that once in a blue moon, someone I know and love is going to come along and blow my mind.
What would you say we stop talking about it for now? Because I find it kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Phoebe?
Yeah.
Who's down there?
The guys are here.
Don't forget to lock the door.
Okay.
It's really funny because now that we're talking, Jordan, I've seen Rebuilding, I've seen Wake Up Dead Man, and now I've seen The Mastermind. There's a fourth Josh O'Connor movie.
History of Sound.
History of Sound, which I haven't seen. So it's like the quartet of Josh O'Connor movies I haven't quite seen. But this movie is really brilliant. If you haven't seen, if the trailer didn't do enough for you as far as the plot, the lead character is a failing architect who comes from a really rich family. His name's James Blaine Mooney. We're introduced to him, I guess you could say, like scoping, you know, staking out a potential heist location in a museum. And when you start this movie, you're seeing a guy that's sort of dipping his toe from a life of privilege and academia into theft and fencing artworks. And in true Kelly Reichardt style, she takes very clean genre artifacts and then superimposes the actual real messiness of people and, you know, flawed desperation, different motivations, and brings it here. It's set in the 1970s, and this glorious kind of jazz-inspired lyrical movie is what comes out of it. It's a kind of an anti-heist movie, but it has everything that you want, and it's so much more about the human drama and fallout of literally saying, I'm going to commit crime. And overlaid with that so effortlessly is like the context of, I think, what feeds heist movies, which is like this deep existentialism of why do we live in a society and live moral lives when we're kind of living in amoral times. I found it to be really excellent. What did you think of the Mastermind?
Agreed. Yeah, this is in my top three films of the year, I guess. I first saw it, back in New York Film Festival and absolutely adored it, and then just revisited it just on Mubi, you know, when it landed there. And it's funny, we're speaking actually on the day of the 30th anniversary of Heat, I believe. It's fun to talk to the master himself, who knows more about it than anyone. And it is fun just I had Heat a lot on my mind watching the second viewing of Mastermind, to see how much, you know, how in contrast this movie is, with that Michael Mann masterpiece. And it's just funny, you know, most heist movies, you have, like you said, you're at least rooting a little bit for the robbers, or you're in their point of view, you know, a lot, and you're trying to, you're siding with them in some ways. And it is funny how this movie slowly, you know, Josh O'Connor is so likable that from the start you're kind of with him, and then this movie slowly it's just kind of this Bressonian slow burn of like seeing his actions, and then by the time you get to like the phone call he has at the end with Alana Haim, his wife, and how he just is kind of this sad sack loser that has nowhere to go and nothing and it's just this how Kelly Reichardt's able to like slowly turn the tables on you and then have this slow burn for, you know, an hour and a half is just, I think, brilliant.
I was just gonna say, what's so good is I watched it a second time too. And watching it the second time, I was like, I think Kelly Reichardt is a genius. Because from the first second he's in the movie, he's a loser. And Josh O'Connor is a brilliant actor. And with just this absolutely graceful camera and delightful music choices and the kind of hues of these, you know, sort of afternoon sun-drenched light pouring into a museum and things like that, he kind of feels like he's not a loser. But I think what's so cool is like the whole movie she's like, no, he's a loser. Like, he is a loser. Like, in his mind, almost the film takes this subjective perspective of like he's happy and he's outsmarting everyone around him, he's outsmarting the movie, he's outsmarting these cops, he's using his privileged position to navigate through the different situations, but he's completely out of his depth. And what's so cool is like he has no idea about the crime or criminals that are occupying his town. He has no concept truly of like the social and political discord that are going on because he's so detached. He has no clue about, you know, he's like, oh, this guy's a good guy. He has no idea. He's never worked with any of this crew. It's like that in the heat of it all, it's like he's not just hiring one Wangro, he's hiring all Wangros. Like, he has no clue what he's doing, and every single step of it is like people just like willing to stab him in the back or cut his throat to save their own skin. And it's much smaller scale. There's no, you know, ferocious gun battles or, you know, armored car robberies or any of those things. But I think at the core of it is this, like, this kind of freedom that comes with no longer having to live by the laws of the land. And yet he's completely outmatched from the first moment. And the whole movie is just a big joke, because there's no one in the movie who thinks that he's the mastermind. He enjoys, he enjoys the moniker that the cops are like, these guys are saying you're the mastermind behind this whole thing. He enjoys that immensely. And it's real. I love that the whole time. Like when I watched it the second time, I'm like, I actually think she's a genius, because it's no arc. She kind of starts with, this guy's a bit of a loser. This is all going to go badly. And like, because I'm so talented and as a filmmaker,
you keep waiting for what the scene where he might redeem himself, and then it just never comes. And, and the ending is just perfect. And you talk about like the comedic aspects a little bit, and on the second viewing, it really, that comedy really opened up. It's just, you know, from this moment where, you know, it's revealed that his like kids have no school that day, and he has to take his kids along. It's like, it's just, and like the worst for a parent trying to do anything. It's a worst nightmare. And then for him trying to pull off like the worst, you know, what he thinks is the best day of his life, where he's going to get rich. And then for him, you know, having sat up with his kids, and then, you know, like you said, like his driver bails, the police arrive early on the scene, and, you know, his kid ends up puking in the car, and like all these things that are just,
well, he pukes in the car, John, because he's the most irresponsible parent. He sends two young boys with money into a theater. Like, now, like guys our age, that was a reality. Like if my mom was busy and she wanted to go shopping or whatever, or I remember we were interstate one time, and there was a cinema next to the hotel that was staying at, and my mom was working, and she's just like, here's X money. Just gave me, you know, I think it was like $50 or something like that at the time. And I was like, wow, this is the most money I've ever seen in my life. And she's like, go down to the movies and go shopping and get yourself lunch and then come back to the hotel. I probably was 11. Like it's, I mean, my daughter's 9 and I'm like, I would never do this, but you know, it was a different time. Like I went to the movies, I ate popcorn, I ate chocolate, I had giant soft drinks, so whatever the case may be. And he literally is like, oh, I don't have a babysitter, so go take your brother in, play some arcade games, don't have too much, you know, junk food. And of course, kids are manifest destiny. When you say don't have too much of something, they go and have it. And so like even then, he's like a bad dad. He's just like on his best day, he's an even worse dad. He's like, oh, go have junk food, and he throws up, and oh man, it's very fun.
And how she's able to kind of balance that like comedy with just like, it is like a slowly devastating like movie, just seeing this family kind of like fall apart, and just like the every decision he makes, you're like, why are you doing this? And to see the way she's able to kind of handle that aspect, and even, you know, the structure of the movie. I remember, you know, when it premiered at Cannes, people, you know, got good, like most Reichardt movies, it's like there's some lovers out there, but it's not like best of the year Palme d'Or kind of thing. And then like as more people watch it, and you kind of, the movie settles into you, like it's genius kind of, you know, comes out. And same thing happened, I think, you know, with Showing Out, First Cow, and you know, you go down the list. And I just love kind of her filmmaking style, how it's just, you know, not as assuming, and just really lets you settle into, luxuriate in the film a little bit. And it's not, you know, she's not, like you said, there's no big massive heist moments or thing. I mean, the heist itself is kind of as low key as you could get, outside of a few kind of key moments. But just, I love the way she, you know, just portrays her kind of milieu that she's created. And I think it takes people off guard. So like when, you know, there's a 10 minute sequence of him putting his paintings in the barn loft, and it's like, it's just not what you would expect, but it's the reality of, hey, if you're in this life and you're trying to do this, this is what's the hardest part for you at sometimes. And I just love how she's able to focus in on these little oddities of that life.
I love how you said that. It's like the milieu, though, it's what's really cool is, and I'm trying to, I don't think it's a, it wasn't some, it is a fantastic take, but it wasn't, it sort of happened collectively as a lot of different people saw it, which is like the comparison of the Coen brothers inside Llewyn Davis. Like there were lots of, there's a couple of like formal reviews, but like you see on Letterboxd, lots of people talking about, oh, this is the perfect feature with inside Llewyn Davis, because really you're taking this gorgeous, you know, you're taking filmmakers who sometimes work in period pieces, mostly work in sort of contemporary states or like stylized contemporary states, and going back to this very, you know, very deliberately put together, whether it's wardrobe, color, cars, you know, locations, you know, space and time, and the specifics of the time are so important as well in The Mastermind. Very important. So there's a lot of similarities there, but that's the kind of same vibe that you get, is that it's so lyrical and beautiful and easy to be occupied by. But then all of those messy bits, I was smiling when you were referencing the heist. It's like, the heist is pretty easy, but it's also clumsy. It's so like, every part of this plan is so weird. It's like, he loses a guy on that day. They get that he's got to take his own, you know, his own car or a wrong car. Like, the guy who comes to the heist brings a gun. Then he goes and robs a place. It's like, just all these things, step by step by step, go through. Like, the messiness is everything. And I think that that's what I love about Kelly Reichardt stuff. And there's actually, I mentioned it with Brandon, but if you folks haven't seen her terrific Night Moves, which stars
Dakota
Fanning and Jesse Eisenberg and Peter Skarsgård, it's a really excellent movie. And it reminded me a lot of this, because they are all kind of nature advocates turned anarchists, and they have this grandiose plan of doing this huge gesture that's going to have a huge socio-political impact, and they get caught into the quandary and the mess of, like, hey, we actually did something wrong, people got hurt, and now none of the intent of what we're doing is there, just the consequences of taking those actions. And I think that that's the whole thing that we get with The Mastermind, is like, it's so much a film about the consequences and the very personal family drama dynamic consequences of this meeting. That it just becomes this really great, like, is this worth it? Like, it's like, I think it's almost like Kelly Reichardt looking at all heist movies and going, is this shit really worth it when this is what happens? But I think very cleverly going, like, setting it in the 70s and setting it in this very, you know, politically engaged time, and having these conflicts of civil rights and anti-war movement and, you know, kind of like bully gang-like militaristic cops who just come out and bash people for disorder. It does actually set it there, but putting Josh O'Connor's aloof, kind of detached guy in the middle is even funnier. So yeah, I found it profoundly funny movie the second time. The first time I was like, this is a really excellent and beautiful movie that just is so fun to wrap yourself up in on the couch, you know, it's like, you'd like a warm blanket. And then and then the second time I was having a lot more chuckles. So I think that's a huge, huge benefit for it as a movie.
And even, I don't know if you dive into spoilers or anything, but I won't detail the exact ending, but I do feel like her overall message after seeing a second time is the, you know, she's kind of saying, like, if you're not engaged at all with the world or what's going on with you or with politics or anything, you, like, that will be your downfall perhaps.
Yes.
Because this is, you know, I did not expect the ending when I first saw it. And the fact that he's looking out for all these other things, but not really looking out what's right in front of him and what is happening with everyone. And if he knew what he was taking part in and where he was headed, then he might've been more aware of, you know, trying to escape the situation. So I just kind of love how, like, none of the movie is really about that, but at the end, it's all about that. And I love the way she's able to do that. And it's not, you know, not hitting you over the head. It's just telling you, like, hey, this is it. And so.
Big recommend from, by the sounds of it, Jordan and I, really high on your list. And it might creep up into my list at the moment. I was really profoundly affected by another beautiful movie which Josh O'Connor was in, which is Rebuilding, which is currently carrying the tail of my top 10 at the moment. And I'm almost like, could I have two Josh O'Connors in the top 10? I don't know yet. I'm not allowed.
It is allowed.
I'll allow it. Jordan will allow it. But it's really good. And it could, you know, and after Wake Up Dead Man, which I'm looking forward to speaking to another future guest on on this show, Why Not Take.
You got to cash in on the Jack O'Connor stock before Spielberg next year.
Yeah, get ready. It's disclosure. I'm just sad that we didn't get more Michael Douglas and Demi Moore disclosure posters put up randomly. And
that's the second wave of marketing. Yeah, we'll
see. Second wave. They're like, you know what? Just put those posters up. It's a really great movie poster, the disclosure poster. Jordan, thank you so much for being here. For folks who want to check out Jordan's stuff and his amazing curation as the editor of the Film Stage, just go to thefilmstage.com. You can check out everything there. Man, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I'm so stoked to hear this is so high on your list because it is a really, it's a really great one. I'm sure that someone out there is going to program an Inside Llewyn Davis, mastermind double feature. They're just called the Sad Sack double feature. The 100%. It'll be so great. But no, it's really excellent. I'm glad that I got a chance to talk to you about it.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Hope to talk soon.